Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. I'm very excited about my next guest. We're going to talk about the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter of Exit Coach Radio is succession planning, exit planning, preparing for what's next in your business. And my guest is Liz Bentley. She's joining us from Liz Bentley Associates in Huntington, New York. And we're going to talk about succession planning. Her business is leadership development and organizational consulting. So, Liz, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Liz, tell us a little bit about yourself and Liz Bentley Associates and what it is that you do for your clients.
So like you said, Bill, we do leadership development and organizational consulting, and that can involve executive coaching, training programs, as well as consulting inside of the entire organization, always at the executive level, and then sometimes mid-level and down. A little bit just about my background and how I got into this business was that I started in corporate America myself. I worked at CBS Network for a number of years in advertising sales, and then went over to Wired Magazine, where I worked at Condé Nast and was the ad director there. And when I was at the ad director, I was running sales, so I had offices all over the country and a lot of different people reporting to me who were older than me, younger than me, with all different types of sales styles. So I got a lot of background in corporate America. I also had a psychology background that I got from the University of Virginia, and also I did the coaching program at NYU. And one other thing that I bring to this business is that I was a high-performance athlete throughout my entire youth, and I played Division I soccer and lacrosse at Virginia, which both had teams that were top in the country in athletics. And a lot of athletics is around mindset and performance. And so I help leaders develop their mindset and performance inside of their businesses and bring those three things to the table.
Fantastic. So a lot of great background of being a leader and a winner and seeing all different sides of big companies, small companies, and that type of a thing. So why are you focused on succession planning? What's the big issue, and what's your market look like?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing and why we're being called in for succession planning so frequently is that the retirement age has been pushed back. People are aging longer and aging better. And we're seeing the retirement age really used to be 65. But now we're seeing a pushback for a number of reasons to 72, sometimes even into the 80s for certain people and organizations. There are a variety of reasons for this. Like I said, some is due to, you know, people just aging better. Some is due to lifestyle choice, people being very involved in their businesses. As we know, the baby boomers were really the workaholics and the people who first got into the whole workaholic mindset of really creating a lot of their identity around their careers, and a lot of them have liked to stay in it. And also some of it is financial. 59% of baby boomers are supporting their adult children. So they're, you know, they have big expenditures or can, and they like staying in it for the money, either because they have to or because they want to. There also is a little bit of a different mindset with this generation in the idea of leaving money behind. A lot of the baby boomers and some of the early traditionalist generation really are going to spend their money while they're here, while they're living, versus the older generations who are really saving it and passing it on to the next generation.
Good points. And so what you're saying is a lot of people probably in their 50s assumed they would get to 65 because that was the number selected by the government, which goes way back to days of Prussia, you know, when they said 65 is a good retirement age and people were living to 62. So a lot of people are getting to that age and going, huh, nothing's happened. You know, I feel good. I feel healthy. I feel vital. I'm going to keep going. And then the years go by. So why do so many companies need help with succession planning then right now if they're continuing to work?
Well, some of the challenges is that they're turning around at 72 or 75 or even in their late 60s and saying, I haven't really built a bench behind me. And I'm realizing I need to start to turn it over to other people, but I haven't really built up, you know, people to do it with, or they're running into generational challenges where they're seeing that they have very different mindsets around how to run the business and how to get things done. They also can run into money challenges where they're not passing on the money, and they're kind of keeping it at the top, and so they're not giving appropriate growth, and then sometimes losing talent because people leave because there's not enough attrition, upward mobility, ability to move up inside the company, so they're losing good people.
So the risks are that something does happen. They get to a point where you know you're in that kind of red zone of health risk, basically. Anything, you might feel healthy one day and things might not be so good the next day. So they need to prepare for that risk. And then also just showing the next generation that there is a future there and leading them and bringing them into it so they don't leave and go somewhere else. Because I think there's probably a lot of people in their 50s right now looking around going, I thought I would be running the company by now, but, you know, the CEO just won't leave, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of people feeling that way, that they're not having the ability to move up, and not getting the opportunities and the responsibilities. Or even also the other issue that happens with people who are older, aside from the fact that they might get into the, as you said, the red zone as far as their health, they're also becoming less relevant. While they have good business wisdom, they're not as current. So they're not as updated on the technology and the way to get things done. They're still doing meetings in person, for example, maybe, or thinking, you know, not recognizing that certain generations don't listen to phone messages and still want to talk on the phone or meet in person and do things, you know, a variety of different ways where business has changed a lot. And so they're becoming less relevant, and then and that affects the business. And new businesses are developing with different mindsets and younger generations that are able to move faster and be sometimes more efficient. So it can help. It can affect the vitality of the business, and not grow the people inside of it to the next level.
Great point. You know, I talk to a lot of business owners in that age range, and they say all of the people I used to network with that created business, and you know, all the other CEOs, they're now retiring, and I can't relate to that next generation of owners. So it is very important to get involved with that. So what does your team of consultants do to help navigate succession planning?
We have kind of a model built around learning first, then building something that would be as successful and achieving it. So first we go into an organization and we kind of learn what they're doing. We run assessments and sometimes anonymous engagement surveys to find out what the organization is good at and where they struggle. In a way, I feel like we're doctors. It's like a company calls us in and, you know, like a doctor, you go in and you say, you know, I've got a pain on my side and I think it might be my appendix. But as a doctor, your job is right to diagnose it and really find out, is it your appendix, or maybe it's a neck pain that's going down your spine and causing this pain in your back that you didn't realize, right? So we had the same thing. We go in and they say, well, we think our problem is communication. But what we might find out is the variety of things. It could be leadership issues. It could be a cultural issue. It could be a technology issue. So we go in and make assessments to diagnose and get really clear on what are the issues first. And that's what we call kind of the learn stage. So in the learning stage, we do all these assessments and figure out and then present it to the executive team and say, okay, here's your problem. Then the next thing we do is we build timeline and strategies where we identify obstacles and put in strategies to create success. Say, okay, here's what you need to do. And the last piece is really achieving it. And achieving it can be running, you know, generational training, doing executive coaching, running team building programs, and really just consulting them through a variety of different projects that they're trying to get done in order to get to where they want to be. Even whether that's recruiting in new types of people, recognizing personality styles they're missing on their team, you know, again, putting in a new technology system, things like that.
You know, I think there's a lot of small and mid-sized businesses out there, Liz, that have an owner and then he has a team of managers, and nobody maybe has shown ownership aspirations. Can that be built in, or is it, in your assessment, is it just you go in sometimes and say, there's just nobody here that's going to take over the business, we need to look outside?
That definitely happens. I mean, you know, but sometimes the person is right in front of you and you don't see it. So it really depends. I mean, it's a really interesting point because it really depends on the culture of the organization, what the struggles are, what the challenges are. It really depends on a variety of factors. And because we've done it so many times, we've gotten pretty good at diagnosing quickly what needs to happen. But we were actually just recently doing a project where the company was picking, of three leaders, they were picking the wrong one. And luckily, we were able to assess it pretty quickly and figure it out. And when we did, it became so obvious to them that they were picking the wrong one, but had we not been in there, they wouldn't have seen it.
Why were they picking wrong person, do you think?
Well, what were they were doing? The problem was the person they were not picking of the three had a very different leadership style than the head person. And because they were so different, the head person saw it as wrong instead of just different. And what we did was we ran a survey in the company on the leadership of the three people. And the one person they weren't picking scored the highest by far of the company as the best leader. And if they hadn't picked that person, if they hadn't done that survey, they wouldn't have realized that if they hadn't picked that person, the whole company would have rebelled and would have been upset. And they were going to pick somebody, you know, who was completely different. And because their personal leadership style was similar to the CEO's. And so once we got through that, they said, no, you're so right. This is true. You know, and all the writing was on the wall because we had it on there. Then we coached the new leader through it and took them through a number of different stages. So we just didn't say, oh, pick, you know, candidate A and then leave it at that. We took them through a whole year-long program to make the transition smoothly.
I was going to ask you, is that about a typical length from the time somebody's selected? I guess it would vary all over the map. But is an assessment to figure out, okay, where does this person have strengths and weaknesses, and let's work on their strengths, of course, but also figure out how we're going to help them with their weaknesses. Is that the kind of assessment that you look at?
Mm-hmm. Well, first we did the employee engagement assessment, which was, you know, just to measure the three leaders kind of against each other in a way to see, you know, how the people who worked inside the organization, and it was a big organization, I mean, big enough that it was about 500 people, to say, okay, you know, how do you see these three leaders? And that gave us a really good view of how the organization felt about these three leaders. Then when we start coaching, we do 360s. So when we do 360s, and we measured it with the 500, we did small samples, large samples. There are different ways to filter the information you're getting, so it's not just a blanket survey. You can filter by title, you know, by departments, so you can measure it lots of different ways and see how they're successful. Then once we get into coaching, we do 360s, 360 feedback reviews. And that's, you know, that way we can really help them hone their strengths and weaknesses.
And when you say 360 feedback reviews, you're referring to the DISC assessment, that's called the DISC assessment?
No, the DISC assessment is a behavioral assessment. That's a little bit different. A 360 feedback review is when you take when you're going to do a coaching project with a leader, you interview people who work above them, a boss, alongside of them, peers, so in other departments. And then people who are subordinates, who work below them. You ask them all the same questions. You know, what are the great things they bring to their job? What are the things they struggle with? How could they be better leaders? Things like that. And you compile all that information and deliver the feedback. That way they're seeing kind of how they show up to their job from lots of different vantage points.
Great.
And essentially
great.
When we run 360s, we find that everybody kind of says the same thing but in different ways.
Well, it validates it. It validates it, and it's not just one person's opinion or what one person thinks.
Yeah.
And that's so important, especially like you said, when the owner's looking at their management team and they might have a favorite. It might even be their son or daughter, for instance, but that might be their favorite, but that might not be the best thing for the business, as you're pointing out. So what's the biggest struggle that you see out there?
Oh, definitely generational challenges. That is a very big struggle inside of companies right now that are – where you have, you know, sometimes you have up to four generations working together, you know, and even when it's only three, boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials, there's a lot of struggle in the way that they communicate, in the way that they work, in the way that they want to get work done. You know, 70%, almost 70% of millennials think that coming into the office is unnecessary. You know, so you really have a lot, whereas baby boomers like to, you know, have in-person meetings and have telephone calls. So you really have a lot of different variety in work style and like I said, the way that people like to get things done. So that's definitely one of the biggest challenges we see, and we have to do a lot of work around that. We even have big companies where we go and do just millennial trainings just for all the new millennial class coming in to help them learn how to integrate into the culture they're going into. But it's just as important to do generational training with the older generations. And sometimes we put in reverse mentoring programs where we have baby boomers who are being mentored by millennials on technology and, you know, their ability to kind of move faster so that they can be more relevant and more, you know, quick in the marketplace. That's definitely one of the biggest challenges. Other challenges are just people moving too slow, not making change fast enough, staying in the this is how we've always done it, not recognizing how much is really changing around them, and older generations holding on to the money and not letting those 50-year-olds come into those big positions of management that they need to. Sometimes we see the older generations holding on to the money and the younger generation, those 50-year-olds who are really starting to take over, doing the work without the pay because the older generation isn't quite ready to retire yet and really let go.
You're sharing some extremely valuable tips, Liz. It's so important that the succession planning isn't just to find that new leader, although that's a big part of it. It's also to teach the people that are currently leading how to succeed out of the business and fade off into the sunset successfully as well, and turn it over to somebody and trust that, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. There's no question. It's really critical. Yeah.
Great information. And so you speak at Vistage Groups as well. Vistage, again, for our listeners, Vistage International is a CEO peer group all around the country. CEOs come together, hear from fascinating speakers like Liz Bentley, and also learn from each other about how to work their businesses better. So, Liz, how do our listeners get in touch with you best to learn about having you come in as a speaker or talk with you to engage you?
You can go to our website, which is www.lizbentley.com, and get us there. And we have a variety of things there, as well as you can take our DISC assessment, which you mentioned before, which is a behavioral assessment on how, what your leadership style is like.
And in case you're listening to this on iTunes, it's www.lizbentley.com. And Liz, fascinating tips. Thanks so much for joining us today. I think we scratched the surface on a lot of this stuff, but I'd love to have you come back on and talk more about this struggle, you know, that between the baby boomer generation leaders and the next generation, and how you come to grips with closing those gaps on their differences. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, great.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to the next time we talk.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, Bill.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. So please stay with us.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you, or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.